It's been said that of all the divisions in human society, left and right, old and young, Catholic and Protestant, Christian and non-Christian, all these divisions, the deepest divide is between male and female. In fact, one author said one is from Mars and the other is from Venus. You know? Isn't it interesting? There's only 5% of the human body that differs from male to female, and yet it's the greatest divide that we know of in the human race. Isn't it also interesting that this is the very thing that reflects the holiness of God? In chapter 1 of Genesis, it says God made them in God's own image, male and female he created them. And then we heard today from chapter 3, which goes into a little bit more detail about the separation. You know, rib can also mean side. And so it's like one side and the other side of the same body. One of the reasons it reflects God is because in God there are three distinct persons, and yet they are so in union with one another, so self-giving and loving to one another, that they actually become one God. And it doesn't dissolve or take away the threeness. It doesn't take away the distinctions, but the distinctions are able to celebrate union without losing the distinction. And so when we marry a man and a wife, we're not saying, now, you give up your maleness and you give up your femaleness so that you can become one flesh. Or you give up your family of origin and all your identity so that the other can give up their identity and you become like mashed potatoes, as you can't tell the difference. No, what we're saying is that they become one flesh without losing their distinction. When Jesus, like he so often does when the Pharisees come to ask him a tricky question to try to trip him up, he elevates the discussion and turns it into something else. They're asking about the trickiness of divorce, and there are various teachings in the Old Testament about that, and they're trying to set him up. What do you say about that? And he says, let's not talk about divorce, let's talk about marriage. And so then he doesn't talk about divorce anymore, he just talks about, in idealistic kingdom kind of language, what marriage is. And that discussion and our own experience, it all goes together to remind us that we live in the tension between the already and the not yet of the kingdom. In the already, marriage is a sacrament of the Trinity. It's a sacrament of the union within distinction that is in the Trinity. It's also a sacrament of God's love for God's people. It's also a sacrament that participates in that divine human union which is in the body of Christ. It's a reminder that we all have our origin in God, and despite sin and all the evidence to the contrary, we are going to return to God. And all of this is happening through our union with Christ. Okay, that's all the kingdom realized now. And on the wedding day, it all seems so crystal clear, you know, because they are absolutely giving themselves to each other and they are absolutely in love. They really are one flesh in this sacrament that we celebrate within the context of Eucharist, which is a symbol of our communion, our divine human union with God in Christ. And they're getting married in Christ. And then there's the rest of married life, where children come along and create stress on the relationship, where they're different families. You didn't marry just this person, you married his or her family too, in a way. You know, a man leaves father and mother and joins himself to his wife, but does he really? You're marrying his in-law. You have in-laws. And does she really leave her family to marry him? No, he's marrying her family too, in a way. All of these things cause stress on marriage and destabilize it and challenge it and make it difficult to live that out for a lifetime. The reality is that we are not in the kingdom yet. And marriages sometimes fail. Divorce happens. And how do we stay faithful to the command of Christ that no human being should dissolve what God has put together? How do we reconcile that with the reality that many people have experienced that it just doesn't work out sometimes, despite grace even? But in the same way that marriage is a sacrament of our union with Christ, it's also a sacrament, a sign of our disunion with Christ. Because it's not always perfect. This idealized kingdom language of which Jesus speaks in the gospel today works out some days and not others. And it's a challenge for us to believe that we are in God's presence and loved by God, even in our sin. That God is not only with us when we're good, but God loved us and died for us while we were still sinners. That the kingdom, the realized kingdom of the future, is already there for God. God is already there. Christ is already sitting at the right hand of the Father, and everything is all assumed into him and given over to the Father so that God may be all in all. Those wonderful words of St. Paul that are only a vague and distant hope for you and me is already realized for Christ. And one of the reasons we celebrate the Eucharist every Sunday is because we need to be reminded over and over again that what seems impossible for us is not impossible for God. God sees in us a goodness that we are never going to be in touch with this side of the kingdom. God sees in us a potential that we don't see ourselves, or that we don't see in one another. And to say in hope that what we're going to partake of in a few minutes is the meal of the kingdom, it's the heavenly banquet celebrated in the now, even though the now is much less than perfect. The sacrament of Eucharist, the sacrament of matrimony, the sacrament of baptism, all of those, the whole sacramental system is an icky, imperfect system because God was willing to dirty himself in our sin. That second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, God was willing to take on our human flesh. He was willing to call us brothers and sisters because we all have the same origin, the Father. And love is paschal. The only way marriage is successful at all is because we're willing to lay down our lives. I will give my life for you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. You know, the words of the vows are so kingdom language. They're so profound. Who could actually say that? Many of you have said that, and many of you have found how hard it is to live up to that, and it's paschal. And that's why we sign ourselves in the baptismal font every time we enter here, as a reminder that every day we are immersing ourselves in the mystery of Christ's death. It's the paschal mystery. And that somehow death ends in resurrection even when it isn't apparent. And in all the dying that people do in marriage, We need to cling to the hope that there's resurrection behind every one of those deaths. And that ultimately, goodness and love and eternity in God will win out.